Jeremy, how do you pronounce your last name?
Riss.
Okay.
You're listening to the Pete Santoli Show.
About to incite a riot.
Yeah.
Make some noise, break up the silence.
We are, because when you talk about 9/11 evidence and issues, it is certain to cause a riot. There's so many different opinions, so many different camps, so many different scholars, so many different engineers, so many different lay people like myself. But most importantly, so many confused and dazed and psyoped individuals that have never really gotten to the truth. And we're now 12 years plus past 9/11 occurring. We know something terrible was done. We know that a secret, powerful elite behind the curtain have done it. We already know this. This is a fact. And why the American public says, well, you know, we just need to kind of move along and, you know, let's just look away and forget about the $1 trillion that we spent going after brown people in the desert. And here we are just arguing the point over and over and over again, talking about evidence and arguing among each other, believe it or not. There's so many different camps that have been set up, well established. You know, you've got the architects and engineers. You've got the people that have read the book, Where Did the Towers Go? By Dr. Judy Wood. She of course, conducted, the only documented forensic investigation that's been filed in the court system that's in existence, but everyone's been calling for a new investigation. We already know that the investigation has been conducted. And this is going to be a topic of our discussion. I'm now with a guest that unfortunately Jeremy kind of pushed back a little bit on giving us his bio, but I'm gonna let him come in and tell us a little bit about himself. He's got a bachelor's degree in physics. He said he's been a truth activist, researcher, and video producer for the past 7 years. And Jeremy on YouTube goes by the name Alien Scientist. And I will preface our conversation by saying that is, you know, the initial interaction that I had with him was to bring him on to talk about, you know, 9/11 evidence. And then he's been an opponent of the information that Dr. Judy Wood has been trying to propagate out there, of which, you know, I mean, I've made my own determination as what is evidence, what is factual, and what isn't on my own. Jeremy, welcome to the Pete Santoli Show. And, you know, I do welcome you with open arms. I want to have a sincere, open, and honest discussion about 9/11 evidence and facts. If we can keep it to that, that'd be great.
Absolutely. You've got the Citizens Investigation Team. There's a whole bunch of other groups. The Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which was actually split in half by Judy Wood and Morgan Reynolds, and kind of divided that whole organization of Scholars for Truth into the one camp, Scholars for Truth and Justice.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to offer you this, okay?
Yeah.
Just because I have a lot of passion about this subject, okay? This is my show.
Absolutely. That's why you brought me on.
Yeah. I don't want to steamroll you per se. Just because it's my show, I want to have you as a guest and be very courteous to you. But at any point in time, please allow me to interject respectfully, okay? When you talk about and you start plugging and bashing Dr. Judy Wood right from the very beginning, it's just not going to, I mean, the conversation is not going to be productive. So if we could do me a favor, let's do this. From here on out, could we do this? How about this as a deal? Can we stay away from the name Dr. Judy Wood and talk about evidence and facts about 9/11? Does that sound like a deal? Can we shake hands on that?
Controlled demolition to really get into 9/11 and talk about the reasons about, you know, why it happened and who people I think are behind it and responsible, which is because what I've really been pursuing most is trying to find culprits and actual evidence, which we can use in a court of law to convict these people and put them in prison.
That's what we want.
And really end their wrath of tyranny and injustice, which has caused, you know, open the surveillance state here in America and started 10-year illegal wars and occupations of Middle Eastern countries. So it's really,
I agree.
It's really 9/11 is pivotal to all that. If none of this would have happened, we wouldn't have the world we have today if it weren't for 9/11. And,
that's absolutely right. And if you don't mind, we'll move past this. So we're going to agree to that, right? Let's not even talk about Dr. Judy Wood.
I would like to have you, get me on to debate her face to face. I've well, that, yet to be able to find, but that's another thing. We can do that another time.
You could. She doesn't fear debating anybody about the issues. She just wants to have a productive debate. But, I mean, when you come into the show, let's just move past this by me making this comment. If you talk about scholars and psyops for 9/11 truth, like what was the affiliate? I mean, James Fetzer started that organization. He's one of the biggest psyoppers in the world.
Yeah.
And if I were anywhere near that guy, I would want to literally just take his organization and pull it apart like a friggin' banana. So, you know, we have to, of course, pre-qualify your statement about Dr. Judy Wood and Morgan Reynolds, both of whom I have the highest respect for, by the way. But James Fetzer is probably one of the lower life forms, lower than Jabba the Hutt on the planet. And in my opinion. So, anyways, but we move past that. Let's move past the Dr. Judy Wood thing. Let's talk about 9/11 evidence and facts. Sir, here's what I'd like to ask you. Of all the stuff that you've seen out there and all the arguments, I want to open it, if you don't mind me opening up, because this was the first thing that opened my eyes to the fact that even after listening to Alex Jones, the so-called 9/11 truther, he never told me about Hurricane Aaron, okay? And it was so important to me as a layperson. Now, you have a bachelor's degree in physics. You understand what the importance or insignificance of a hurricane approaching New York City on 9/11. Why is it that, you know, that most people are not talking about that hurricane? Why is it so underreported?
A hurricane? I don't know if you've seen my videos on 9/11. I have one where I name about 19 different people that are suspects involved. And I talk about, you know, who had contracts for security in the World Trade Center, you know, who ran electronic security for those buildings, who had the contracts to do upgrades and what kind of things were going on inside the buildings, reconstruction. I talk about, you know, people that were inside the Pentagon, people that died aboard Flight 77 that had connections to all sorts of programs, including the Pentagon's financial accounting office. You know, why did Building 7 go down? What was in Building 7? Why was that so important that they had to control demo that
building? So you don't want to answer my question. Is that what you're saying?
Hurricane Aaron? I don't understand what a hurricane has to do with
anything. Let me rephrase the question here. Let me pre-qualify it, okay? By the way, we have a very, very well-educated audience here. I just want you to know that. So you can answer the question or you can choose not to. I'm going to ask you this.
All right.
Hurricane Aaron was located just off of Long Island throughout the day on 9/11. Both the approach in days before and the presence of the storm on that day went almost totally underreported. It's almost, if not unreported. So when I discovered this thing, and it wasn't just an anomaly, we're talking about a massive hurricane that not only approached, okay, yes, on a sunny day, but an overhead shot of an aerial shot that I've seen in the picture, in the book, Where Do the Towers Go, I saw the edge of the hurricane. Now, why did I only find out about this in November of 2012? Why do you think?
Well, there's a lot more going on that day that was a little bit more important than weather that didn't have any effect on anyone. It didn't actually touch down. It didn't hit shore. So it's just...
Have you read the book, Where Did the Towers Go?
I've read all of her arguments online, gone over her website, and pulled a lot of that stuff apart. And,
No, that wasn't
I don't really understand what this hurricane, what the significance of it is. Like, if there's an energy that could be taken from this hurricane or put into that hurricane, I seem to be under the impression that she's saying that the energy came from this hurricane, was harnessed from this hurricane, and somehow transformed.
That wasn't my question. My question was, why was it underreported? It existed, and you're trying to quash it, minimize it. And if you hadn't read the book, then maybe that's why you're not understanding what the significance of it is. And that's why I was asking. It wasn't to call you out for anything. So your answer is no, you have not read the book, Where Did the Towers
Go?
No,
I have not read it. I don't own a copy. I would never buy it. I think that she's a distraction for so many other things that are much more important than a hurricane.
It's all relative. Depends on your perspective.
Financial things. The money that went behind this.
Sure. We'll be right back. Stay right there. Sorry to interrupt us with the break. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for joining us. We'll be right back right after this message with Alien Scientist. All right, cool deal. Good. You know, and I really, honestly, Jeremy, I want to tell you this. I just want to make sure. I mean, we're going to be fair but firm, you know, on both sides. You're going to be fair but firm on your side as well, my side as well. I mean, I understand how important some of these issues are. That's why I wanted to talk about the hurricane, and I do with everyone. And everyone that I talk about that tries to divert me away from it, I just don't get along with. Just amazing. Well, I mean, that's just the way it works out. You know, James Fetzer couldn't even come on and get past the first question. I asked him that question. It turned into a huge argument. I couldn't even be in the same room with him. I literally wanted to just rip his throat out.
A hurricane and spend an hour discussing a hurricane because I think there's so much more important stuff.
We're going to talk about facts. I mean, if we could do that, just limit it to facts. and evidence. We can talk about that and get that to our audience. That's the most responsible thing we can do. Does that sound fair?
Absolutely. I got plenty of facts and evidence.
Okay. All right. Hold on 1 second here. Now, normally we cut away to a commercial. You can hear the music in the background. We got a technical issue with our phone lines today. So we are, just to let you know, we are live on the Gorilla Media Network, but the Rents Network is taking their break right now. So if you yell at me and cuss me out, everyone will hear you, which would be fine. I mean, hold on 1 second here. Let me do something. Hold on. No, thank you so much for coming on, though. I really do appreciate it. I've been pestering you for months now.
Yeah, man, I finally got, I got a lot of comments on my videos asking me to go on your show. So I was like, you know, why not? Even if it's going to be drama, maybe get into a fight or something. I don't care. I just want
we don't want to do that.
I mean, on the table.
So. You know what though? Our listeners and our readers are really, really smart. If they see us doing that, I mean, they're just going to be turned off by it. They want to hear good evidence and debate, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I would definitely debate any physicist as to the significance of a hurricane, especially in light of knowing all of the evidence that I've seen. It's very, very significant.
All right. More significant than the put options, you know, or evidence of simultaneous war games, drills, and exercises. I mean... there's lots of things I'd like to talk about that I
sure, but that doesn't
give you know, people put, more inside scope into sort of the planning and who was really behind 9/11 rather than
sure and we, just skip over the evidence. I mean, knowing what happened on 9/11,
a weather anomaly.
Pardon me?
A weather anomaly?
Well, let me tell you something. I'm just going to use this as a hypothetical. If I took a if I took a squirt gun, all right, and it had a special chemical in it, and I fired it at the World Trade Center. And it just went poof into a big cloud, right? And you were to come to me and tell me, why, that squirt gun doesn't it matter? It doesn't matter that it... Here, we're coming back. Here we go. Okay. So what we're going to do in the essence of time is we're going to get right to, and Jeremy and I, alien scientists, that is, we've agreed to stick to the facts and the evidence, and... obviously, we all believe that certain, you know, aspects of what happened on 9/11 are extremely important. To find out who did it is what alien scientists contends that is very, very important. And we were having a discussion during the break that I believe that the hurricane, especially in light of the fact that I've looked at all of the evidence contained in the investigation, the forensic investigation, and I believe that after looking at all the evidence, after looking at the textbook, Where Did the Towers Go? I believe that hurricane is important. Here's the next one. Let's go past the hurricane issue. Okay? How about this?
What?
You're a physicist. Right. You say the hurricane isn't important. That's great. It's on
the
record.
I'm just trying to look at it from a prosecution standpoint. If I were a federal prosecutor prosecuting war criminals for 9/11, what would I present in court that would convince a jury and not distract them or get, you know, I'm just really.
I don't think it's a distraction. I would say that it's irrelevant that a trader did a put option who had nothing to do with harnessing the power in a hurricane. There's no, you know, there's no real connection there. I would say that he had inside information as to who had the technology to use the power in that hurricane. Yes. And I would want to present that. But you can't in an investigation, a forensic investigation, you can't show up at the crime scene and say, well, we're going to step over the body. And we're just going to go look through the drawers and take a look at the phone records without looking at the body and saying, okay, well, how were they killed? Were they shot with a bullet? Did they have a stab in the face? And can't say, well, that doesn't matter.
You're talking about the weather outside the building where this murder took place, you know?
Well, would you say that
like,
if
was
we...
Was it raining out or snowing out? You know?
Okay. What if a hurricane approached the house where the murder took place and somebody had the ability to take a lightning bolt, okay, from that hurricane and fire it at the deceased. Would you say, well, the hurricane doesn't matter. Let's take a look at who took money out of their bank account from their ATM machine.
I would say, well, where's the patents on this device, or where's the actual device or proof of concept?
I don't know. I wouldn't want to say.
I mean, I find patents on nanothermite.
That's a good way to just shut somebody up to say, we don't see you with a shoulder fired weapon, so therefore it doesn't exist. Really? There's weaponry that exists that although we haven't seen it, there's exists. You can't tell me that the U.S. government doesn't have.
How are you going to prosecute someone for that? A weapon that you don't know if it exists or not, and you can't prove that it does.
Well, that's the issue. That's why we need to at least understand what happened. Okay, and look at all the facts and evidence. Here's the next piece. Did you know that 1,400 motor vehicles were literally toasted, spontaneously combusted in very strange ways during the destruction of the Twin Towers? Now, you're a physicist. Isn't that a weird anomaly?
I see oxidation localized on any of those cars, but I wouldn't jump to conclusions about what exactly caused that without
spontaneous combustion
or metallurgical analysis of what actually went on in that steel. Like, they could do metal tests and be able to find out really closely what happened.
How about spontaneous combustion of vehicles? Okay.
I've seen no evidence of anything spontaneously combusting. I've seen things on fire and burning, but I don't see anything
There's been testimony by people that said that vehicles just caught on fire right there, right in front of them. Just started burning. I mean, we had entire parking lots that were blocks away from the World Trade Center. There was a before picture that I saw of all the cars with, you know, waxed vehicles on a clear, shiny day one moment. And then a couple of hours later, the entire parking lot had all the vehicles burnt to a crisp.
So that's another thing, is if this weapon, hypothetical weapon you're talking about, is inaccurate enough to toast all those cars, then how did it sever 47 core columns in exact synchronized fashion to make it look like a top-down controlled demolition?
That wasn't my question. My question was, 1,400 motor vehicles were toasted in strange ways.
Yeah, they looked like thermite burns. That's my best hypothesis for what happened to those vehicles.
So you say that they were thermite burns. So does thermite is thermite selective? Would it actually go after a vehicle and then leave the surrounding trees and
whatever
the surrounding,
it landed on? Yeah, it's whatever very it landed localized on. And very hot. And
so you're saying
and
that thermite
oxidation agents?
Yeah,
which,
you're saying that thermite. Disgusting. So thermite came from the World Trade Center towers with scattered blocks from the World Trade Center and went after the vehicles only. And people survived that effort. Is that correct?
Yeah, the people did survive it. They got blown by these clouds and stuff. But the thermite's only going to burn whatever it touches. It does give off quite a bit of heat and stuff. And there's definite reports of that. People experiencing extreme heat. People getting burned. People on the phone from inside the World Trade Center talking about how unbearable the heat was. People talking about, you know, molten steel under the towers weeks after the attacks. You know, you have stuff like that.
Sure. How about the breakdown of the material? Okay, the 1.5 million tons of debris. Okay, that I believe turned to dust
in 5 gallon buckets. Literally, fireman said the biggest piece he found was half a telephone keypad, an inch wide. I mean, the whole buildings were blown to kingdom come. I mean, that much is obvious.
So let me ask
but
you this.
I believe that was done through some space age laser technology, which we can't prove or exists
please
in any definite way.
Hey,
or whether it was
Jeremy, did anybody at any point, this is what I'm going to do. Okay, here's the deal. All right. My audience is very well aware of what neurolinguistic programming is and psyoping is. And for you to very skillfully, carefully, inject certain words into people's minds, like has been done to us during the PSYOP for 12 years. For you to do that to my audience, I find to be reprehensible. Okay?
Wait,
so what I want you to do, did you ever hear me say anything about firing beams or patents or anything like that? I'm asking you questions.
This is the first paper that she co-authored with Morgan Reynolds.
Who's she? Listen to me. Focus. Look at me, dude. Seriously. Look at me. Look at me and listen to me.
Right?
Look at me. Focus on me. I'm going to ask you something. The towers... 1.5 million tons of debris, okay, turned to dust in midair, okay? And that debris never hit the ground. Okay, let me during the destruction, there was an absence of high heat, and you're saying the thermite possibly caused that. Is that correct? Witnesses reported the initial dust cloud felt cooler.
You're saying that a laser weapon or some sort of directed
Did I ever say laser? Did you hear me say laser at any point in time?
Well, no. This is a more scientifically accurate.
Did you hear me
laser.
Say? You're saying laser to my listening laser. Audience. Don't go past me. Focus on me. Speak to me. I never said laser. I said during the destruction of the tower, there was an absence of high heat. Witnesses reported that the initial dust cloud felt cooler. I have a person I could put him on the line right now. His name is Tom Hansen. He's a principal with my show. He stood at the base of the towers. He said that the waft of dust that was coming out was cool. And you're saying that that was thermite. How could thermite possibly be cool? Is there thermite that's cool?
Well, this is what are you talking about? The thermite in the patents, which I have, these are real patents. You can look them up. They were filed by Battelle, and they had it detail in those that nitrocellulose explosives are used in conjunction with the thermite incendiary. Thermite, it melts the steel, and the nitrocellulose explosive will literally blast it through. So you're not just talking about a thermite.
That melts steel produces a cool waft of dust going through the entire city of New York City. Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
A controlled demolition. The buildings were blown up, man.
Okay, they were blown up. So thermite being used.
You're saying that a directed energy weapon did this? Is that what you're saying?
Did I ever say that? My listeners are actually hearing you say this to me. Did I ever say that? Did you hear me say that?
No, I called it a laser because that's a more accurate.
Did I ever say that at any point in time?
Any weapon you can possibly imagine aside from chemical or biological.
Have I said weapon?
Energy directed in nature.
Have I mentioned the word weapon since I've met you?
Can I talk about some other facts?
Sure.
Interesting, and I think...
Okay, so you just want to skip over and not answer any of the questions I've asked you so far. You want to tell me that thermite existed in the World Trade Center towers, and we do know that if thermite was used...
I'm talking about thermite was patented by people who occupied
that's
the towers
great.
That
so
were
if,
hit on 9/11. It was patented by these people.
So if thermite
was... connections to all these people. It was developed at Los Alamos National Laboratories under the direction of Marvin Bush's company. Mm-hmm. Secure Comm Stratasec. Mm-hmm. They helped develop this stuff
at
Los Alamos.
That's the equivalent.
Labs.
What you just said is the equivalent of Alex Jones placing documents on the internet, okay? Then setting the SEO to it, and then referring everybody to Google to go Google the terms to find the documents that he placed there. So, of course, thermite was patented and all these things took place so that there would be a story, kind of like brown people in airplanes. You know, like we had to come up with a viable excuse about Saudi Arabians.
This is what happened. It was either controlled demolition with people actually going inside the buildings, actually rigging these
towers with explosives. What facts do you have? What facts do you have that a controlled demolition?
Buildings, rigging the buildings with explosives. All right, or it's something else, right?
Okay, so they were. So we also have people that were in airplanes that supposedly smashed into the towers, but they didn't. I don't think that they were responsible for causing 1.5 million tons of debris to turn to dust in midair. But it went along real well with the story, don't you agree? So yes, the evidence exists. Saudi Arabian passports were found in the dust at the base of the towers. Yes, that's a fact. But let's go back to the evidence. Okay, the dust. Okay, how it was broken down finer. Okay, than you're saying that thermite was used. If thermite, in fact, was used to melt steel, as you said, those are your words. To melt steel, would we not have seen any light whatsoever? How much thermite could possibly use to turn all of that steel into molten? How much?
The thing is, you do see light. There's very many number of videos you can watch where the stuff that looks like reacting thermite pouring out of the side of the tower. You can see it in the inside of the towers, these molten metal drips. You can actually see it in a lot of these videos.
Sure.
Compare that with a directed energy weapon, which would cause localized heating. There'd be all kinds of light being emitted from that reaction.
Are you saying that a directed energy weapon was used?
If it were used... Then wouldn't you see the same light?
I thought we were going to talk. We're going to talk about facts and evidence. You're speaking of hypothetical.
No, I'm talking about what you see in actual videos where the tower collapses. You can look up the thermite video, and you can see this stuff pouring out the side of the tower, and it does not look like aluminum.
The thermite.
Any of these other things. It's bright yellow and it's sparkling.
You're saying that what caused that was thermite. It caused that melting. Is that correct?
It looks more like thermite to me than any other hypothesis that's been offered.
What about the rest of the building? I mean, that building had 1.5 million tons of debris, okay? Was thermite used to melt the concrete as well?
No, you have explosives. And in fact, there's patents that show that this thermite, nanothermite, can be used. It's like an arc welder to superheat concrete
arc welding and superheating, but there's no light that was ever emitted from this. Is that correct?
You can see it in the videos. You watch the stuff pouring out.
Very limited.
The building. That's
not in a whole building to turn it to dust in midair. I mean, I saw actually steel that wasn't molten. It was actually falling from the Trade Center, turning to dust in midair, falling. I mean, how do you delete that from my memory? I saw steel beams.
I don't see steel vaporizing. I don't see the. I don't know how you can get that kind of.
I watched it
when you look at the video.
I watched it. I'll send you a link
on
to the video.
Level.
Yeah, no, I've seen it. We'll be right back. We'll talk more with alien scientists right after this message. You feel okay? You feel comfortable, Jeremy?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good job, you guys.
Excellent. Good. Yeah, I mean, we've made it through 30 minutes, and that's great. I feel very comfortable.
I have to say I'm a little impressed.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy, hold on one second. I'm going to take a brief pause here, and then what's going to happen is the Rents Network will be doing their news break, and then at the six-minute mark, we're just going to get this music interruption, and we'll just transition right to it, okay? So hold on one second. Spore? I've got it. Cool. Thank you. Okay.
You also need to record, please.
You're so freaking awesome. Thank you so much for saying that. And there we go. Bam. We record. All right. Give me just a second. Okay. Stand by. All right, we're back, and I'm with Jeremy. He's better known as the alien scientist, and he has just a whole huge number of videos that contradict just about all of the recent information that I've learned about the evidence that has been concealed from me, from the likes of people like, you know, 9/11 experts, like architects and engineers for 9/11. I call it concealment. Okay. Or Alex Jones is hiding this information from me. I didn't know about Hurricane Aaron. I didn't know about 1,400 motor vehicles spontaneously combusting. And also, I did not know that there was, you know, supposed molten hot stuff that was found glowing right next to plastic coolers and paper and acetylene torches. That was very odd to me. I didn't see that stuff. But I did see a forensic investigation that everyone else has been calling for and that has already been conducted. It's called Where Did the Towers Go? Dr. Judy Wood just so happens to have her name on it, but we're not going to talk about Dr. Judy Wood because we want to get through the facts and the evidence. Okay. So I'm here with Jeremy, alien scientist. He's a very well-educated, sounds to be a very well-informed from a certain perspective, very well-informed person that knows a lot of information about anomalies. We've gone to a couple of them. It doesn't have much to do with the physics of how those towers turned to dust in midair. But yes, there were put options and there were Saudi Arabians and there were all these other diversions and distractions to take us away from the fact that the steel that I saw falling from those buildings in midair turned to dust from the point at which they were a steel beam at the top. And by the time it reached the ground, it completely disintegrated. Have you ever seen steel turn to dust in midair yourself as a physicist?
Not without a microscope or some scanning electron microscope. I'm sorry, I can't get.
Have you seen the same videos that I have
camera,
from?
You know?
Have you seen the videos that I've seen from NIST that actually show steel turning to dust in midair?
No, I have not seen any video where you can get resolution that high enough to see actual vaporization of molecular compounds.
So. Well, from what I've seen, what I've observed myself, I saw what appeared to be a steel beam at the start of its trek to the ground, looking like a steel beam, and then by the time it hit the ground, it was completely and totally in a cloud of dust. That's what I observed with my own eyes. I don't need any microscopic anything to see that. You know, that's forever changed me.
Okay.
Yeah. So well, how did thermite do that?
I require more convincing evidence than that.
So. Than my observation?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, then seriously, I'm going to describe this to you again.
The Spire video. I know the exact video you're
talking
about.
No, this is not just the Spire. The Spire video was the confirmation that what I saw was a very weird thing. The Spire video, yes. I've seen that. Not that one. I'm talking about a full steel beam at the top, okay, as the dust cloud, as the building was turning to dust in midair, a steel beam falling, leaving a trail of dust as it was falling. Before it hit the ground, it was no longer a steel beam. It was just a poof of dust.
Yeah.
How does that happen with thermite in midair?
I don't see the same thing you're seeing. I see the
you need to look closer. Cloud
hiding this steel beam as it falls vertically. I don't know. This dust to me looks like concrete dust.
I'm going to say this. You're a smart guy, dude. This is what you're doing. I'm going to put a million people in front of that video. As a matter of fact, let's put a billion people in front of that video, and I'm going to ask them.
How many of them are scientists?
You know what? I don't think I need to be a scientist for me to tell you that what I saw was a steel beam at the top, and before it hit the ground, it turned to dust. I don't need to be a scientist.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I can. You.
Why do I need to be a scientist for me to see a steel beam turn to dust in midair? Why do I need to be a scientist?
Controlled demolition, pre-planned controlled demolition.
Okay, that's a neat little. Go ahead and squeeze that in, everyone. Yes, just take that into your brains and just continue the PSYOP for another 12 more years.
The PSYOP. I've done a lot of effort on this.
I just asked you a question and you skipped around it. It's called NLP, Neuro Linguistic Programming.
9/11, and it's. I've done a lot of. Right. Videos on PSYOPs and disinformation in the movement.
Right now, you're speaking out of five sides of your mouth. Choose one side and answer this question. Why do I need to be a scientist to observe a steel beam starting at the top and turning to dust in mid-flight, in mid-air, and being a poof of dust before it hits the ground? Why do I need to be a scientist to see that with my own eyes?
No, you need to be a scientist to prove that that dust is actually steel vaporizing. That's what you need to be a scientist for.
Okay. No. I'm talking about making an observation. Okay. Why do I need to be a scientist?
That's in a court of law. Prove that that dust is molten liquefied vaporized steel.
You want to take that image and put it in a court of law. You want to do that? Well, is that what you're saying? That's what I would love to do.
I want to take like real forensic evidence, like the FEMA report, Appendix C, where it has the only metallurgical testing ever done of any piece of World Trade Center steel. And it was a piece of steel from World Trade Center 7 that was saved and forensically tested using these metallurgical analyses. And it found intergranular melting, eutectic formation, and grain boundaries. It literally looked like it was melted with holes through it, like Swiss cheese.
Okay,
so,
sure. Okay.
And oxidized.
We'll take it at that. You've answered.
Real science, real metallurgical examinations. Right. I mean, for you to say that this is that any kind of dust coming off of, these pieces of steel is actually, microscopic pieces of steel, you better have some serious, evidence to back that up.
Okay. Well, then let's set that aside. We've already beat that to a dead horse. And by the way, we're coming up. We got 1 minute. We'll hear music. We just need to pause, go past that, and then reintroduce here real quick. All right. So basically, you're saying that a controlled demolition takes place. With a normal controlled demolition in other cities, you blow a building up, all the debris falls to the ground, it makes a big loud noise, and in fact, produces a seismic reading. All right, magnetometer readings from six stations in Alaska recorded abrupt shifts in the Earth's magnetic field as each of the major destructive events unfolded at the World Trade Center. A, why did that occur? And B, why was there no presence of steel on the ground that produced a seismic reading to justify 1.5 million tons being, as you say, demolished or controlled demolished?
Well, I have a link to an article on that. I'm going to look it up for you, and I'll post it in the chat.
Okay. Can you speak to our listening audience? Since we're very auditory.
There was evidence of seismic data showing that there was impacts that occurred that were consistent with the buildings hitting the ground.
To justify 1.5. Here we go. We're coming back. Here we go. Okay. We're back. Here we are with Jeremy. I'm with Jeremy Riss. He's better known as Alien Scientist, and we've been having a pleasant, productive conversation we were just talking about the fact that, and we got past the fact that I observed steel turning to dust in midair, all right, from the top of the World Trade Center towers. I saw a steel beam trailing dust, and it broke down completely and actually completely disappeared right before my eyes. So Jeremy's telling me that I didn't see that, and I needed to be a scientist in order to tell myself what I saw.
You need to be a scientist in order to prove that that steel is actually
liquefied. Do I need to be a scientist to prove what I saw?
No, just to prove that that's steel.
Yeah, I'm just saying I observed
that
it.
That is actually molecular dissociated steel. That's what you need. You need scientific evidence to prove that.
Okay. All right. So that's an anomaly.
I'm talking about a court of law. You know, like we need trying to convict people of of this, and the court of public opinion as well. And I've talked to people on the street about this, and you don't win many new audience members talking about this kind of evidence, the stuff that you are bringing up on your show and claiming like it's more important, and all the stuff that you're saying that all this other stuff, so like the Saudis and the money, that's all just a distraction.
No,
you said that earlier.
No, I didn't say that. I mean, I understand now that I've taken. Well, I'm actually, here's the difference between you and I. I read the book Where Do the Towers Go.
You have her science papers, dude. I read scientific papers. I don't have to read her book. I read her papers.
You don't have to read her book.
She published the papers on it. I read the papers. If anything is in her book that's not in her papers, then she needs to write another paper. So like,
did you read her everything in her Ketam case?
Say that again? Ketam?
She filed a Ketam case in federal court. Did you read everything contained in that forensic investigation that was filed?
This is what I call my.
The answer is yes or no. It's a simple
psyop.
No. I asked you a question. Did you read her federal case?
Take future cases of 9/11 evidence seriously because they look at her and they're like, oh, this stuff.
No. But here's the thing. So we have a textbook, and then we have a forensic investigation that was filed in the federal court system. Did you read that information that was filed with the federal court system?
No, I read her papers, man. Okay. There's much more.
So you didn't read the book. You didn't read the book, which contains. This is not a psyop. Let the listener decide. No. Set Dr. Judy aside. I've read her book. I've read the forensic investigation she filed with the federal court system. You say you haven't, but you're more qualified than me. Is that correct?
I've read her scientific papers. She has no evidence for this space
excluding
weapon.
Excluding the textbook
laser.
And the federal court documents.
Laser weapon. That's more accurate than direct.
You just said
weapons.
Space-based weapons. It has nothing to do with anything that's in the federal
laser
court.
Laser technology.
Laser.
It's the same
space
thing.
Beam.
Light amplification by the stimulated emission of radiation.
I do. I know what that is.
You studied lasers according to your bio, so know a little bit about them.
I sure do. Mm-hmm. Light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation.
So how much energy would be required to power a laser?
Can I ask you something? I just asked you a question. If you read the textbook, if you read the forensic investigation that was filed with the federal court system, you said no, but you don't think that that's important, although it contains the investigation that everyone's been calling for. You just said, I didn't read the investigation, but that's okay.
I read her scientific papers. Why do I need to read her
excluding,
court case, man?
Excluding
she's
the formal document.
I know she's a psyop.
No, what is the psyop?
Look at how many people have
she
gotten
filed?
Talking about space
okay,
lasers
hold on a second. Let me,
and get completely written
space
off
laser
and discredited.
Beam. Sure. You sound like Alex Jones. Hold on one second. Space beams. Yeah, you just keep inserting that into everyone's mind. They know what the psyop is. They're very, very well educated. Here's the thing. You ready?
Very well educated to a psyop that's taking all the attention off who put bombs in those buildings.
How many times did I say space beam?
I've gone through the tedious work of identifying and naming by name and all their connections and lining up for people.
All of my listeners heard you say laser, not me.
And says, oh, don't look at that. Don't look at who ran security in the buildings. Don't look at who had the contracts for electronic security.
Where?
Who redesigned the electronic security system after the 1993 World Trade Center bombing.
Right.
Don't look at any of that stuff. Instead, just look at a space laser or
say everything.
That's more important.
Say
evidence.
Everything to
that's
our listening really- audience except what's contained in the 500 pages that's right in front of me and the federal court case, the Ketam case, which contains the entire forensic investigation that AE911 Truth has been asking for. It's already been filed. Say everything outside of that because I don't see laser here. Hold on a second. Let me go through this 500 pages and see where it says lasers or space beams. It doesn't say that. You would know that because you haven't read it.
All I know is that a space laser is a more accurate descriptive term
who said
than a
space
directed
laser?
Energy weapon. A directed energy weapon
who said
could
that?
Be a basketball.
Who said right? space laser? Who said that? Who said that? Who
I said that because
okay,
it's
well,
a more
Dr.
descriptive and accurate term of what
Dr. Judy
proposes
Wood.
In her scientific papers, which I have read and analyzed.
Okay. So in this book, Where Did the Towers Go? It's a forensic investigation, okay, contained in the textbook, and the Ketam case.
It's a psyop.
A psyop? Okay, have you read it? How do you know? How can you say that something you haven't
read?
Because
I've read all her books. I've seen what she's done to them.
You've read everything but the most important stuff.
She's distracted. She gets people lost in these debates over space lasers.
We're not lost in the debate, dude.
All this other stuff. And all she does is debunk thermite, the most hardcore evidence for an explosive that we have to date with signature on it, leading directly back to the people who most likely put it in the buildings, and she tells people to ignore all that.
Let's do this. So yeah, you call it a sign, but okay, here's the deal. Let me ask you this: a meat and potatoes.
Absolutely.
We're real basic people. We're not scientists. We're not physicists. I just want to know one simple question: what the answer to this question? Where did 3,000 toilets go? Where'd they go?
I want to know where all the debris went and why it was removed so fast. I don't have the answers for these questions, man. You're going to ask me the questions? Look, fools have a million Fools have more questions than a wise man can answer. You ever heard that saying before?
Your answer is, as a physicist, 12 years you've had to study this, you have no idea where the 3,000 toilets went. Is that correct?
They're blown to kingdom come along with the rest of the building that you can see in any video.
Where did you graduate?
Things were blown up.
Where'd you graduate? Where'd you go to school?
This doesn't matter. It's appeal to authority. I could have got my degree in a Cracker Jack box.
Why is everybody trying to decredentialize? Why is everyone trying to decredentialize Dr. Judy Wood?
Architects and engineers from 9/11 Truth that you're calling them a psyop. You're saying that they're a distraction. Yet this one woman who wrote this book trying to convince everyone that it's space lasers that brought down the World Trade Center. She's the sole beacon of truth.
Can I ask you something? I'm going to ask you this question again. I'm going to ask you this question in the book.
It's laughable.
500 pages in Where Did the Towers Go? Or her QTAM case, the forensic investigation filed in the federal court system. Where did it say space beams or lasers? Where did it say that?
She has that in her first paper, her first scientific paper.
No, that wasn't my question. Reynolds. That wasn't my question.
It it's called the Star Wars beam weapon.
Wasn't my question. Yeah, well, I mean, obviously something went wrong on 9/11. You look at it, you're like, what the heck just caused that? Now, she looked into it. She compiled and investigated. She went further. She never told me anything about a space beam. The only thing I hear about space beams is from Alex Jones and you and James Fetzer.
That's in her first paper. It's a space-based Star Wars weapon. It talks about the Star Wars aerial defense program.
But I've never heard Dr. Judy say that to me. Let's say, for instance, if she thought that in the beginning, like something very powerful took place there, and she said that to me. Something very powerful took place, and she investigated it. She put together a very thorough, comprehensive.
A psyop that has really distracted and divided the movement and made people put people against AE 9/11 Truth.
What in this book do you want to call a psyop that's disputable? What in this book do you want to dispute? Which part of it? I have 500 pages.
I don't want to talk about that book. I want to talk about real evidence that will lead to convictions. Mm. Nothing in Judy's Woods book will ever put anyone who was responsible for 9/11 behind bars.
You think so? You want to tell everyone, don't read the book. Go look at my debunked videos. Is that what you want to say?
Or that court case that she has. You will never.
So you want to tell my listening audience right now, don't read the book. Go to my YouTube.
The director of Central Intelligence on 9/11, George Tenet, was also the director of Visage Corporation, a company accused of pre-9/11 insider trading. Okay, this insider trading is not some minor thing. It's connected to people in the highest levels of CIA and in the government. All right,
All that stuff.
That's insignificant.
No, you know what? Here's a fact. How about this? Let's talk about facts and evidence, like we promised we were going to do. Fact: the protective bathtub was not significantly damaged by the destruction of the Twin Towers, meaning that 1.5...
They were preventing it from caving in. There was people working on it the whole time.
It was actually breached when the cranes actually went on the wall. It's actually documented that what caused that breach and that damage was from the cranes when they were removing the debris. Why didn't it get harmed when 1.5 million tons came crashing down on it? Why? Is that's a fact? How come? How can you explain that?
Because it was vaporized by some mythical weapon that you can't prove exists and can't convict anyone of because you don't have any patents for it. You don't have anything. All right. None of that matters. It's a distraction and a psyop. And I will stand by that firmly. And I'll argue with you to the day I die because unless I see evidence,
it's not an argument.
The only way I will be convinced.
Can I ask you something? What fact have I presented to you?
Experimental evidence of your hypothetical.
What's amazing is you're calling these facts a psyop that you have never once been able to answer. You haven't been able to answer one fact at all. How about this? How many towers?
Answer these obscure questions.
How many towers? How many towers met their demise?
Toilets went and stuff.
How many?
I want to talk about real things that will lead to actual, convictions.
If I told a billion people,
Dick Cheney running board games on stand down orders on 9/11, 46 simultaneous board games, drills, and exercises.
Right.
NORAD, ground people, the FAA, all the things that went on with the chain of command there, all switching people in. Sure. Wall Street lawyer coming to take over.
Yeah. If I told a billion people,
these people need to go to jail, and they're not going to go to jail with you focusing everyone's attention on Judy Wood. And
we want to ignore the fact. You think that if we stood in front of a billion people right now, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, 3,000 toilets were in those buildings. Not one sliver of evidence has shown the toilets were completely gone. You don't think that they would care about that? You want to tell them, send us $1 trillion. Let's go kill brown people in the desert. Is that what you're saying?
No, don't put words in my mouth. What I'm saying is that if you were to stand there on a soapbox and get an audience and tell them that,
It's not a soapbox.
Look at you like you're a lunatic.
What but fact?
I could sit there.
What fact have you
fact,
have you addressed?
By point.
What fact have you addressed?
Was an inside job, and I never have to go to any of these.
I'm gonna when we come back. I'm gonna ask you how many towers met their demise. How many buildings met their demise on 9/11? I want you to count them. I'm gonna give you an opportunity during the break to count them
like
and
to
come
talk
back
about
here.
That a little bit.
I want to talk about how many buildings met their demise when we come back right after this break.
I'm enjoying this thoroughly, Pete. So
okay,
thanks
cool.
for having me on.
All right, cool. I mean, you know,
I'm sure it's entertaining for your audience as well to have.
No, we're not looking for entertainment.
You guys are doing great.
Yeah, yeah. We're not looking for entertainment. I'm asking you questions.
Okay,
yeah. Here's a fact. How do you address that fact? You say that's a psyop. Let's look at brown people in the desert. Give me $1 trillion. Let's go kill them because Dick Cheney said stand down. Okay.
Anyways. No. Let's look at.
Pete, one of our listeners said, "Please call the toilets crappers, please."
Please.
Crappers.
Where did the crappers go? That's right. That's right. Hey, you know what? Well, I mean, this is a, would you want to take callers? And I'll tell you what, I don't set anybody up. I don't blindside. I'm going to tell you, who these people are that are calling. I mean, I have my regular listeners
I'll
that want to call.
I'm not afraid. I have nothing to hide.
But I'm not doing this to set you up. I'm not going to have a scientist to kind of stump you.
I don't care if you are. I'm ready to handle it.
Yeah, but I don't do that. I just don't. But I have my regular listeners. They're real loyal fans of the show, and they, you know, we've been together.
I would go on Fox News and debate this with the full intent of being set up.
Would you go on Fox News and let me ask you those questions and you avoid all of them?
Talk about having people look at you like you're a nutcase, right?
They would never let me on. Oh, my God.
No, they wouldn't.
Not for a second.
Well, some of them might. Bill O'Reilly would.
Oh, that would be my dream come true.
Just so he could sit there and tell you you need to be shot for treason for saying
such things. We could practice yelling all over each other all day.
Mm-hmm. So am I doing okay? I'm not yelling at you or over interrupting, am I?
Oh, this is great. Okay, I'm loving it. I'm having a blast.
I want to make sure you feel comfortable. Okay, here we are. We're back. Okay, let's get right to this. Thank you very much. I'm with Jeremy Riss. He's better known as Alien Scientist. We're actually doing very, very well. We're exchanging ideas and opinions, of course, and we're doing so in front of our audience. We may be able to take your calls here. You're a physicist, so I'm going to ask you you're a well-educated physicist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How is it possible, okay, that the collapse of the towers took place with remarkably little damage to neighboring buildings, okay? But most importantly, the buildings fell faster than is physically possible for debris to come down to the ground. It is physically impossible for those buildings to come down at the speed at which they did. Because if I dropped a billiard ball from 110 stories, how long would it take that billiard ball to reach the ground?
8, 9 seconds, 10 seconds, something like that.
Okay, so how long did it take for the building to meet its demise?
There's different reports. The 9/11 Commission states the collapse of the South Tower at about 8 seconds, and the North Tower about 10 seconds.
Okay, so without any wind resistance or any physical resistance whatsoever, a billiard ball would take you're saying 8 seconds, right?
Right.
How is it possible that those buildings fell at the speed at which they did, okay?
The only way that would be possible is if all the resistive force of the structural components beneath the building were removed by some other force. That way they could not provide the resistance force or the what's called the impact or collision momentum transfer as the, each floor impacted with one another, you'd see a significant slowing down of the building as right. that would crash into it. So you would actually take a bit longer than you see, but you don't see that really that slowing. There's a paper on this called The Missing Jolt by Graham McQueen, and it talks about, you know, the energy that's required and how it's not observed. So that's quite very basic explanation. That's probably one of the ones that really convinced me early on that this was a controlled demolition, that these buildings were blown up. And after that, I was like, this is an inside job. It needs to be investigated further.
Right. So buildings being blown up, okay, you still have physical debris that's coming down, correct?
Yep.
And you're saying that all of that debris that's falling to the ground did not meet any resistance whatsoever, that it's actual 1.5 million tons of debris had no resistance.
Some of it did. That is the beams that wound up in the Bankers Trust building. That's resistance. You know, the huge section of the tower that fell on World Trade Center 3, the Marriott Hotel. There's pictures of that as well. There's pictures of, you know, the pieces that have fallen through. There's some unexplained events, though, in some of those buildings, those other six World Trade Center buildings in that area, that, you know, you hear World Trade Center 7, but there's two World Trade Center 1 and 2, the Twin Towers, but there's 3, 4, 5, and 6 as well that aren't really talked about as much. And there's damage to those buildings as well that cannot be explained by just debris falling from the towers and stuff. For example, a huge section of World Trade Center 6 was gutted out the inside, and it looks like something was pre-planted or done to that building, which gutted out from the inside. And it's another interesting anomaly I came across in my research is that section was actually housed the El Dorado Task Force offices. And that's an interagency money laundering watchdog group that would have coordinated money laundering investigations between several different agencies and would have been basically assigned to investigate the source of funding for the 9/11 hijackers immediately after the attacks, had their investigation not been thwarted by the attacks themselves.
Are you saying that as a physicist, that because of who had offices in the building, that determined how the buildings disappeared? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying that it's an interesting anomaly that sort of investigation was located in that building, which had that anomalous damage to it. It's just sort of strange, you know.
But we're going to talk about the facts and the evidence, right?
Absolutely. Who's in the buildings? You know, like, who are some of these people on the floors? You know, I talk about that in a lot of my videos. I've really
So you're saying yes, that who was in the buildings is in fact, and there's a direct correlation between who was in it and how the buildings actually came crashing to the ground, as you say. Did they come crashing to the ground?
I want to talk about, you know, who was on those floors, you know, who ran the security for these buildings, who was controlling what came in and out of that building.
Will that determine what happened on 9/11? Will that tell us how an entire parking lot spontaneously combusted two blocks down the street? You're saying that who was in those buildings?
Will that lead any of those people to jail? No, that won't. Talking about cars down the street won't put those people in jail.
Isn't it remarkable that I didn't find out? And since 2006, I've been hanging around with AE 9/11 Truth people, Alex Jones, and I never found out about any of this stuff that you say that's, you know, part of this forensic investigation psyop.
They don't touch any of that stuff. They're only concerned with really just the controlled demolition aspect. I did some stuff with them. I went to a rally. They came to Boston one time. I met Richard Gage. I got a picture with him, and he at the AIA conference here in Boston, and got to spread some truth to some people. Held a sign up and went out and did some street action and a whole bunch of other stuff. And then he went and spoke at MIT. I was over there for that. And so I moved away from them because of that very fact. They won't address who was responsible or who could have done it, and they won't ask those important questions and stuff.
They won't even reveal
up with them in a lot of ways.
In addition to that, they won't even reveal all of the evidence. Like they specifically exclude like things that are in the forensic investigation that was filed in the federal court record. I understand Richard Gaze was asked questions about the seismology, and he, in fact, is an architect, and he said he knew nothing about seismology. I just found that to be interesting. Nobody challenged him on that.
Well, I just think it's – I don't really – they explain why they don't touch those issues of, like, security and who was in the buildings and stuff, and they explain why they don't. And I can respect that, I guess.
Yeah, but why would
they want? They don't want to get called out or stick their foot in their mouth to. And it's kind of almost, I think it's too early for a lot of that stuff, because I put a lot of that information out, like complete maps of all the faces of people who worked in wood floors and all that kind of stuff. I put a lot of that stuff out, and I haven't got the reaction I was really hoping for when I put that stuff out. And I think it's maybe even too early for some of that stuff at this point, or maybe it's too late. Well, maybe it's just, maybe the PSYOP has just taken effect in people's minds that they're not even going to look at this now.
Yeah, let's set the PSYOP aside. Let's just talk about the facts, okay? For more than seven years, all right, regions in the ground under where the main body of World Trade Center 4 stood, for more than 7 years, regions under the ground where it stood basically continued to fume. Why do you think that's so? How is that possible? How could it be fuming 7 years afterwards?
7 years after? I haven't heard of this before.
Oh, it's a fact.
This is news to me.
This is a fact. It's a fact. It's actually in
the... I went down there in 2008, and I didn't see any fuming, but I don't know.
It's documented fact that World Trade Center 4, where it stood, there are regions under the ground that continue to fume. Now, there was also, as they described, you know, molten metal, and Giuliani described, you know, 2,000 degree Fahrenheit, whatever melting occurred.
Yep.
Well, that melting in the debris occurred in the debris. Why do you think that was the case? What broke that material down the way it did?
I've already talked to my hypothesis for that. It requires high temperature incendiaries, like were found in the HTA investigations. A high temperature accelerants required to melt steel. There's nothing that can melt steel.
Okay, we'll be right back right after this break. One more break here. You're going to stay with me? Stay with me. There we go. Fantastic. Yep.
Now you can share.
Can you stay with me for another segment?
Absolutely, man. If you want me.
Yes, absolutely. There's just so much stuff to cover. I have some more questions for you, and I am a, you know, just call me a student of this stuff, right? Yes, absolutely.
Yes. I've made plenty of videos that are out there on the web. Some of them have 300,000 views. My latest 9/11 conspiracy solved has 315,000 views. I make big video, big documentaries on
there
stuff.
There are millions of people. There are millions of people that have seen videos by Richard Gage, and I would consider all those millions of people, I would consider them all to be contaminated with the wrong information, or at least a portion of it. You know?
Well, you know, also look at it from my standpoint. I look at anyone who's been exposed to Judy Wood as being contaminated, in my opinion. So it's,
you know, let's
it's
set really Judy.
A, who,
let's
who,
set,
who you decide is, you know.
Well,
like,
hold on a second. Let's set Judy. Dr. Judy Wood, okay, and refer to her as Dr. Judy Wood because credentials are important, right? And we don't want to decredentialize because, you know, that's important because they say,
also,
you know, scientists.
Also, appeal to authority and say just because she has PhDs means she must be right.
No. It's actually a method by which I trusted architects and engineers and scientists and people with lab coats and clipboards who diverted me away from all the evidence we're talking about today. You see?
Okay.
So the credentials are important on that side. So I would say, well, there's a person who's a doctor, Dr. Judy Wood. She has she's just as important to present these facts and this evidence to me. But guess what? Here's the difference. Dr. Judy Wood says, pay no attention to me. Take me out of the equation and look at this fact. Look at these facts. Look at this evidence and just observe it yourself. And you decide what information has been concealed from you.
I look at a lot of stuff she says, and she repeats that she only wants to look at evidence a lot, and she doesn't offer those types of opinions. But I've heard her numerous times mention her own opinions on what created the evidence of that was of those nanothermite particles. She said that it could have been vaporized building components, aluminum and steel. She said that on Coast to Coast AM in May 2011. She claimed that was dust dissociated building components materials that just happened to look like nanothermite and are mistaken as nanothermite. And so she doesn't just offer, you know, evidence. She offers opinions on things.
The presence of iron and aluminum oxide, okay, is what they use.
Aluminum
and iron oxide. Sorry about that. They use that as the basis to say that thermite was used, okay?
Well, it's not just thermitic aluminum material and iron oxide. It's the actual structure of these nano layerings, and they looked at it through the scanning electron microscope. I don't know if you've read that paper, but the SEM images of that material just show this very, very intricate micro technology, micro structures, and grain boundaries within that. And this sort of problems that they had to get around with the aluminum, because if you start pulverizing aluminum into small dots, they actually magnetically kind of stick to each other. Mm-hmm. So they had to like basically flatten this into sheets. And I talk about a lot of the technologies that were developed for basically producing these nanomaterials. Solid gel is one of the technologies. So there's a lot of information involved in that.
I'm going to bring someone to the line. His name is Ryan Bannister. He's actually one of our producers. So he's actually probably, you know, just as well informed, if not more, and better informed than I am on 9/11 evidence. But I'm going to bring him on the line as well. I don't know what question he's going to ask, but as soon as we come back, we're going to take a caller, okay?
Right on.
All right. And let's just wait here. We got 10 seconds before we come back, and you'll hear the music here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm with Jeremy Riss, better known as Alien Scientist, and we're talking about 9/11 evidence. And we have to have this debate, this discussion, because, you know, it doesn't matter how long after 9/11 took place, we still deserve to have the answers to these questions.
I mean, you the truth, whether you like it or not.
Okay. Here we are. All right. So one, Jeremy, I'm going to ask you one more question because I really want to, because I've heard you say that, in fact, that the 1.5 million tons of debris, something happened to it. It never hit the ground, correct? Do you agree with that? That debris never hit the ground?
No, there's some seismic evidence that show spikes, certainly, with spikes. Might be cool.
Okay.
I'm not a seismologist or an expert on that, but
I don't think it hit
the ground. I mean, you did see a lot of dust. There was dust trails that went to New Jersey and could be seen from space in some of the NASA photos.
What is interesting?
Definitely blown to kingdom come. I mean, I have pictures of just enormous dust clouds.
You are the second highly educated scientific person that said that, you know, it requires some scientific analysis as a physicist. And also, hold on a second, let me finish my statement.
Yep.
Richard Gage, an architect in San Francisco, both of you have said that you're not experts in seismology. But here's the fact. Rail lines, tunnels, and most of the rail cars at levels under the World Trade Center complex had only light damage, if any. Why is that so?
They had to shut down the subway line that goes under the World Trade Center. It was diverted off route. They had to do some repairs to that as well.
But so you're saying there were seismic readings of debris hitting the ground, but in fact there's rail lines, tunnels, and most of the rail cars.
It's kind of silly because you see all these pictures of these enormous piles with steel beams just towering and people working on it to remove them. And,
so you're telling me that what I see as far as those beams and things, that's 1.5 million tons of debris? Is that correct?
No, because there's very little concrete. Most of that concrete, as you can see, was actually pulverized, turned to dust, and you can actually see that in a lot of the NASA images and even the pictures after the attack. There's just those huge dust clouds that
pulverized and turned to dust by Manhattan. What? Does thermite turn concrete to dust in midair?
No, explosives do though. No one has argued that just thermite alone was used. Explosives in conjunction would pulverize concrete. They have been known to. They've been shown to.
And so those explosives would turn all of the concrete in the building, okay, let's say at least 100 stories, just turn it to dust, poof, in midair.
The thing is, like, you'd have to have pretty much bombs on the crawl spaces between each floor. And if you look at the blueprints, there's those cross trusses, there's about 4-foot crawl spaces between floors. And those could have been loaded with explosives in order to demolish all that concrete. Or perhaps they're using some classified or advanced demolition technology that's classified, and we'll never even really know about it. You know, that's a possibility as well. But
when you demolish,
I look at it from a scientific standpoint. My analysis relies on energetics and what you can calculate with energy. You know, you know how much energy would be required to blow up these buildings. They're ridiculously large amounts. It's really, really high numbers, 14 terawatts.
So when you demolish a building like that in a controlled demolition, I mean, how do they normally, when they control the explosives, it normally starts at the base, or where do they start blowing the building up? Where does that begin?
Well, the idea is the word controlled is a key part of controlled demolition. And the whole, that whole idea is that it's demolished in a controlled fashion, which means they can really control the way the building comes down any which way they want to control it to. So it's really about where you set the explosives and how you time them to where you're going to get the building to fall.
But do they normally...
And there's very little types of explosives that would actually be able to sit through burning jet fuel in a plane impact and not ignite. But there are ones that exist that can do that. And thermite is definitely one of those things. If you ever tried to make it,
What caused the lower 50 floors to be impacted by the burning jet fuel? Let's say the lower 50 of the World Trade Center towers, both of them.
Well, they claim that the jet fuel went down the elevator shafts, but actually, according to the blueprints, the elevator shafts are sealed at the sky lobbies, which are there's two of them, dividing the building into three parts. Those two horizontal bands that you can see going around the buildings, those are the sky lobbies. Okay. And that actually, elevators don't go all the way from the top to the bottom. They stop at those sky lobbies, and you have to switch and take another elevator. Mm-hmm. And so those were hermetically sealed. There's no way that jet fuel could have gone through those buildings and caused that explosion in the basement of World Trade Center 1 that was reported.
Okay.
Of that stuff. So there's a lot of things that where the government's version of events just does not.
Okay, we're pressed for time, and I'm sorry if I seem overly anxious. It's not to interrupt you, but I want to take some calls. Ryan, we have Ryan on line two. Ryan, hold on one second. You're live with Alien Scientist. Ryan, what's your question?
Hi, Jeremy. Just wanted to, as a side note, say that Patrick Connelly saw cars with tires, and cars were popping, I'm quoting him directly, and they were just starting to light up spontaneously. I don't see that as being evidence of thermite myself or any type of RDX charge. But anyway, I wanted to get a little conceptual understanding here. What causes a controlled demolition, Jeremy?
What causes it? Well, controlled demolition is set up with explosives put inside of a building.
Is that the
expert.
Only part of the equation?
Remote detonators or blasting cord. There's different ways to do it, but it's just essentially you place explosives on key structural components and detonate them to sever those components where you can get gravity to do most of the work for you.
If you look at WTC 5 and 6, you see what looks like Swiss cheese holes down the center of standing structures. And I wanted to know what controlled demolition do you know that would create that?
Well, if there's a bomb pre-planted in one of those buildings, it could have created those craters as well. The hypothesis offered by the government is also seemingly valid that these large sections of the World Trade Center, which fell in those buildings, could have punctured holes through
sir.
Stuff.
No, I'm
but some of them are not consistent with the evidence that you said is that one World Trade Center 6
not
is not
caused
beams.
By gravity.
So gravity would be causing the source of the energy in that case. But in the case of World Trade Center 6,
you're absolutely wrong if you look at the evidence, sir. There is no pieces that fell into that building. In fact, if you look at the video, the high-definition slow-motion portion of the video, you would find that the pieces actually turned to dust in mid-air and didn't actually reach the ground, so they wouldn't have much to destroy. And if you look at the basement, you'd see that there wasn't much destruction. So, thank you. Look at ground zero.
I've been looking at it for the past 8 years. So.
Okay, yes, sir, and you certainly have. And I also, if you don't mind, if I can ask you the question, I hear you say controlled demolition and explosives. And in fact, there was a lot of and eyewitnesses who I've talked to personally who said that it was whisper quiet as the building came down. How could that?
There's a lot of people that said it was lots of explosions. There's FDNY members saying they heard pop, pop, pop. There's lots of people that heard explosions going off. And you can even hear them in some of the videos. It was literally detonations and blasts.
Okay, there are pops and explosions here as well. Here's a fact. Scott air packs, portable air tanks for the firemen. Frequently exploded for no visible reason whatsoever. Entire fire trucks, that were parked full of water exploded. Why and how? Think about that, and let's answer that when we come back from this next break, okay? Thanks, Jeremy, for staying with me. Alien Scientist with me. Ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. This is a great conversation. Open and honest discussion about what happened on 9/11. Okay. All right. We're going to continue here momentarily. Hold on just one second. Give me just a second. I need to take care of something, and I'll be right with you. Okay, Jeremy?
Yep.
Thanks for staying with me the whole time. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on. Yep.
We have 30 seconds left here. Thank you very much. I just stepped away. Ladies and gentlemen, on the Gorilla Media Network, you are listening to the back channel because we have it wide open for technical reasons, Verizon reasons. Thank you, Verizon. Appreciate it. But I'm joined by Jeremy Riss. He's better known as Alien Scientist. And Jeremy, before we come back here in 15 seconds to the Rents Network, what is your YouTube channel if people want to...
Alien Facers for Alien Scientists. I also have a strictly 9/11 videos channel called War Crime 9/11, one word, where it's all just 9/11 videos on that channel. I try to separate it from the alien conspiracy stuff so people don't get distracted or, you know, go into other issues. So I keep the 9/11, War Crime 9/11 channel separate.
I have basically two questions I needed to get out. Susanna Cole just reminded me of one of them. But back to the Scott air packs and the water tanks in the building, coincidentally, that were observed on maintenance floors, the poofs and puffs that expanded out from the towers. You could see that taking place. What caused those Scott air packs and fire trucks to explode?
So was that question directed toward me?
Yes, sir. Yeah, and that was the question before we went to the break. Yes, sir, to you. What caused, and I'll read it to you again, Scott air packs, portable air tanks for the firemen, frequently exploded for no visible reason. Entire fire trucks themselves that were parked near the World Trade Center exploded. Why and how did they explode?
It's a good question. Can you answer it? I don't think I can.
No, that's an anomaly, right?
All right. Just because there's an anomaly or an unanswered question doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it's something exotic, though. So
I never said that.
What are you suggesting caused it?
Not suggesting. I'm just saying that these are facts. And the first time I ever learned of it was after November of 2012. We've had basically an investigation into the facts and the evidence of 9/11, and yep. and that investigation was conducted, a forensic investigation that was not
they
only
didn't name any suspects.
Hold on a second. What do you mean any suspects?
A forensic investigation doesn't. That's just like saying, well,
we have a dead body, we have no suspects, so let's not even determine whether or not they were stabbed or shot. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying who's the most likely culprit. I mean, you're going to have to name suspects if you have a forensic investigation.
So you're saying we're going to skip over the dead body. We're not going to observe whether or not they were stabbed or shot, okay? And we're not going to consider that evidence. We need to find out who did it, who the culprits are.
Well, you're not talking about a gun or a knife wound. You're talking about maybe some blood on the carpet or some fibers or something that have some anomalies on the side. You know, you're not talking about.
Why would you want to skip past the facts and the evidence
of a murder weapon? You know,
I mean, if you
don't try to skip past the facts, I'm trying to focus on prosecution and putting these people behind bars where they belong.
Well, I just brought up a fact, an evidence, an article of evidence that occurred. I don't know how it got there or what caused it.
And neither do I. And I don't. Right. And you're trying to make the fact that I do not have an answer for that seem somehow suspicious.
You just told me that you need to know who the culprits are versus, you know, bringing up a fact that you can't answer.
It's just an interesting fact, and I already told you I can't answer it. I don't know why you're focusing on it so much.
But if you consider,
it's pretty much irrelevant, in my opinion, to like a lot of the other evidence that people should be focusing on. You know,
do you think that we should have we should have an investigation into 9/11?
Well, this is going to be a real hard sell with that. What is an investigation? We already supposedly had one with the 9/11 commission or the you know, the NIST investigation.
A forensic investigation.
The buildings. But, you know, any investigation is going to be heavily compromised. You're talking about, you know, trillions of dollars at stake, a multi-million-dollar you know, multi-billion-dollar arms industry, in military-industrial complex, all the oil contracts, all the petroleum reserves over in the U.S., the Afghanistan opium fields. Don't forget about, you know, the CIA drug running and all the things going on with that. There's, you know, what kind of investigation are you hoping to have? And for anyone to claim that they've already done the investigation and that their book or their work is the summary of everything that happened on 9/11. That's just very arrogant. And I don't think that I've never taken a position to claim that I know everything that happened on 9/11 or have answers for everything that happened. I would never take such a ridiculous position because it would be foolish and nonsense to even think that you could have such a position on such a complex and very compartmentalized and well coordinated event as 9/11 appears to have been. So it's really, I do my investigation. I report on the things that I find interesting that I think are valuable or fruitful areas of research. And apparently I think of have a very different idea of our concept of what is fruitful areas of investigation than you do,
or some
of your viewers.
I know, but just about every article of factual bits and pieces of trivia that you want to interject into this have nothing to do with how those buildings were turned to dust.
L. Paul Bremer, he ran several offices in the future impact zones of the World Trade Center towers. There was several reconstruction projects on the floors which Bremer occupied. He was the chairman of the Congressional National Commission on Terrorism from 1999 to 2000, the ambassador at large for counterterrorism from 1986 to 1989, and he was a presidential envoy to Iraq and administrator of the Coalition Provisional Authority. So he went on to become the Iraq occupation governor after 9/11. He occupied the buildings, the impact zones, where the actual plane would hit his office. He sat on the board of directors for Komatsu Corporation, the Komatsu Dresser mining division that had operated for a very short amount of time. There was a joint between Komatsu and Dresser Industries. They had basically formed a partnership. And during that time, they patented a nanothermite demolition device, which I have the patents for, and people can look them up. Mm-hmm. And it said this device was capable of demolishing concrete and steel structures at high efficiency without secondary problems due to noise or dust or flying chips and dust. And that's in the patent description itself. I didn't create this and put it on the internet and tell you to go look for it so you could find it and then be like, see, it's there. This is not something I put together. This is something someone else found through their own investigation. Kevin Ryan, who's done some of the most, he's a whistleblower, a 9/11 whistleblower, who's done some of the most thorough investigations into who could have been behind this that I've ever seen. Yeah. And I've done a lot of my own work to read his articles, go through a lot of his stuff, because I find that information, stuff like that, I find that much more fruitful and more promising area. It's like gold, digging gold out of dirt.
So we just, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We just need to ignore, and where on the internet have I found prior to November of 2012? Well, hold on one second. There was only one piece of office equipment in the entire World Trade Center complex, a filing cabinet with folding dividers, which survived. Why is that so? Only one piece of equipment.
I have no idea why that was protected. You know, the stairwell B, that's another anomaly. You know, that stairwell survived, and people lived through that and actually survived in the stairwell. If it was hermetically sealed, so they didn't breathe in all that toxic dust with the nano particulates in it, and caused the cancer causing compounds and stuff like that.
Can I take one more call? Can I take a couple more calls? Do you mind as we close out the show here?
Yeah,
I have Douglas on the line. By the way, I haven't asked not one of, and these are regular listeners and callers. Douglas is on the line, but I haven't asked anybody to call in, or I have no idea what their questions are. Douglas, you're a longtime listener.
Okay.
You're live online.
Hey, Douglas. I was wondering if your guest knew anything about John Hutchinson and his and him working for the government and for a little while, and his studies and what he's been doing with the Tesla technology and other stuff that he's done himself.
Yes, I know John. He's my friend on Facebook. I've talked to him a couple times in email exchanges and stuff. My problem with John is he doesn't share any of his data or his experimental, how he actually causes these effects, which he films on camera and puts them out there. And I've also found a couple other videos some other people have shared with me, which show pretty convincing evidence of deception on behalf of Mr. Hutchinson creating some of these videos, which are he then pulled down after people pointed out, like a string in the background operating one of his anti-gravity devices and stuff. And of course, I've looked at a lot of stuff that he has, and I think he's an interesting guy. He's got I haven't seen anything from him where I can get verifiable science. And I was really, I hope that Judy Wood would have teamed up with him to try and write some sort of papers. If these effects, the Hutchinson effect and all these other things do actually exist, I'd very much like to see them documented.
Okay.
And
can I bring one of them up? You're a physicist, so I'm sure you know about George
Pigott.
I have
my own theories on how this could have possibly happened.
And, right, but you referred to patents and stuff like that.
I'm not discounting the plausibility or possibility of, right, resonance interference causing, dissociation of solids. I assume that this could happen, or liquefaction, the Philadelphia experiment, or those pieces of metal that he has where the spoon, it liquefies the metal by turning it to sort of jelly by, exploiting some of the properties of that through these phase conjugation or whatever.
I have two questions here, and then I have one question here. Do you know about George Pigott's patent? And you referred to patents, the patent number 1006786. There is a machine that transmitted radiant electric energy. Essentially, George Pigott applied for a patent for his space telegraphy machine on June 19th, 1903. Are you aware of that as a physicist?
Space telegraphy?
Yeah, space telegraphy. That's what it is. It's a patent. It was filed. It actually, he produced, or he basically overcame gravitation. There's a patent for such a thing by George Pigott. Are you aware of that?
I was not aware of that. It sounds interesting. I'd definitely like to look into that.
Do you know about Edward Leed Scanlan? Are you aware of him?
George Pigott. Yeah, the Coral Castle.
Coral Castle. Yeah, that's interesting. An interesting thing that happened there. Let me go to Ashley. She's on Skype right here, and she's actually one of our producers as well. She has a question. Ashley.
Yes, hello.
Ashley Jones. Yes, you're on with the alien scientist.
Just to let you know my background a little bit, Jeremy, I'm a 9/11 truther. I worked with Ruth Brodowski, Corey Rowe, Jason Vermes. I was actually at Richard Gage's brainstorming session at his New York loft when he came up with the idea of architects and engineering for 9/11 truth. So I know all about their theories and stuff, but I've also read Dr. Judy Wood's book. And to understand where we're coming from, you really need to read that book. Because this testimony given here by eyewitnesses that were there that day, like Patricia Ondervik, are you familiar with her testimony?
No.
Okay.
No.
She was an EMT, and this is what she said. I started running towards the West Side Highway, and there was another building on the corner. I guess it was a federal building because it was all green. The gray uniforms, smoky bear hats, the cops knew. I went to run in the lobby because all of a sudden, you couldn't see anything. There was smoke. There was debris. There was everything flying around. I ran to the lobby because I had no idea what had happened. The cops were telling everybody, get out, get out. Where are you going to go? Stuff's blowing up. So I ran back out, and I started
running. We have just a couple of seconds here, Ashley. You need to pose your question. I have one last question before we leave with alien scientists.
Okay. She witnessed cars spontaneously blowing up away from the buildings on VC mm-hmm. Street. They just started lighting up on her. Her turncoat caught on fire. I want to know how thermite causes that when it was not even anywhere.
Well, I want to know what else causes that. What else causes that? Do you have a hypothesis?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
I do have a hypothesis on that.
What causes that?
Basically, the Hutchinson effect causes that. It's directive energy weapon.
That's all we have time for. You guys, that's all we have time for. We have like 5 seconds and we're going to be cut off here. So, Jeremy, thank you so much for all your time. I really appreciate it.
And check out my video, 9/11 Conspiracy Solved, where I name names and suspects for who could have carried out the attacks from within the buildings and the government itself.
You've been a gentleman. I have one last question for you before we go.
Yes.
Does your dad work for the Central Intelligence Agency?
No, he's been an oil engineer for 35 years.
Okay.
He designs control systems for oil refineries.
Right. Go ahead, Susanna.
You can bring him on for the first 6 minutes before you bring on Patrick, if you want to.
Yeah, no, I think we're all set. Do you have anything else that you need to add, Jeremy?
No, that's pretty much it. Just check out my War Crime 9/11 station, and I have my own theories on what brought down the towers, and they may differ from your own. But I also have suspects and names, and I name names, and I point fingers. So.
That's good. We want to go after them too. I'm with you on that. Absolutely, sir. You've been seriously. This went much better than I thought it was going to go. You've been a gentleman. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see them all behind bars, Pete.
Yeah, me too. I'm telling you. And never, ever, ever give in. We need to keep pursuing the truth.
Absolutely.
All right, sir. Take care.
Thank you, Jeremy.
All right. Excellent. I have to do my thing, don't I, ladies and gentlemen?
You have to print, and then don't forget to press record, please.
Yes. Stand by. Hold on a second. I haven't gotten to that yet. Let me connect. And you were listening on the Guerrilla Media Network and everywhere else across the fruited plain to our back channel scatter stuff because I need to whack Verizon and the pee-pee.